help and only expectation. It's in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, who keeps his truth forever and never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from him that is and that was and that is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, which is the faithful witness, the first begotten of death, and the prince of all the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's continue our service by singing Psalter 429, the fourth stanza. Lord, though I walk mid troubles sore, thou wilt restore my faltering spirit. The fourth stanza, 429. Congregation, the reading of the Holy Scriptures can be found in the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians, the fifth chapter. 2 Corinthians 5, but before the 12 articles and after the Lord's Day 15 of the Heidelberg Catechism.
I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Lord's Day 15, question 37. What dost thou understand by the words he suffered? Answer, that he, all the time that he lived on earth, but especially at the end of his life, sustained in body and soul the wrath of God against the sins of all mankind, that so by his passion as the only propitiatory sacrifice he might redeem our body and soul from everlasting damnation and obtain for us the favor of God, righteousness, and eternal life. Question 38, why did he suffer under Pontius Pilate as judge? Answer, that he, being innocent and yet condemned by a temporal judge, might thereby free us from the severe judgment of God to which we were exposed. Question 39. Is there anything more in his being crucified than if he had died some other death? Answer, yes, there is. For thereby I am assured that he took on him the curse which lay upon me. For the death of the cross was accursed of God.
Speak to faith of the Lord in prayer. Ah, Lord, see us. Then we'll find thee. Reveal thyself to us. Then that mystery of grace will be revealed unto us. It's coming down from thee, and all thy works are returning to thee. It's out of thee, through thee, and into thee. Thou art the origin, the Alpha, and the Omega, the first and the last. The origin of faith and the last Omega of faith. Forerunner, but also the fulfiller. O Lord, take away what we are and have, even when we don't want to lose it. Our sins, self-righteousness, wisdom, so-called holiness, it's worth nothing. Then enmity against the cross, if we maintain these things. And therefore, Lord, it's the death and resurrection, to die into self, being raised in and with him, who is the resurrection, life eternal. Ah, Lord Jesus, shine upon us, please, once more. For in thy light we see the light. And thou art the countenance of thy Father, for thou hast said, who has seen me, has seen my Father. Not with natural eyes, but with the eyes of faith. Looking in today. Lord, have mercy upon us. Constrain us by the love of Christ. Then knowing nothing else than thee, and thou art crucified for thy people instead of thy people. We pray for the sick and afflicted, the old in age, those who stay at home and are sick, the weak and the feeble, those who are hesitating and struggling, wanted to please thee and can't. Oh, happy day, they can't. For thou art not pleased by man, but only by the second Adam, in whom thou hast eternal good pleasure, that we might be hiding in him. For everyone that is in Christ, we have read it out of the mouth of the Apostle Paul, writing down in this letter, those who are in Christ Jesus are new creatures, as they have never sinned nor done any evil, brought to liberty. Lord, we ask that thou would bless the word all over, extend thy kingdom in church and in the world, in China, in the Middle East, when people are listening in even today, sometimes from hidden places, fearing man, and fearing the sword of Mohammed. Lord, we pray that we shouldn't fear and couldn't fear and wouldn't fear than fearing thee. Have mercy upon us, Lord, that thou might give us that liberty to preach the liberty which is in thy Son, thy only begotten one, who came to save from sin, to take away the sins of the world, for a new heaven and a new earth coming together and never separated anymore. Give us the opening, Lord, please. For if thou art closing, who can open? But thou, when thou art given an opening, no one can close. Not the devil, not myself, not an enemy. We ask these things for Christ's sake only. Amen. The first thing I want to say is that he suffered. He is not suffering. In the Roman Catholic Church, Christ is still suffering. By the priests, he is sacrificed as an abomination, says the Catechism. They believe in the blessings of the hands of the priest, bread becomes the flesh and blood of Jesus. And then they sacrifice it at the altar. Therefore, the center of the Roman Catholic Church is the altar, not the pulpit. The altar. Where Christ is daily sacrificed. And therefore, if you look to the cross of the Roman Catholic Church, the corpus is on it, the body is on it. It's still suffering. But he suffered once for all. And he has suffered, finished the suffering work that was given him by the Father. And you see it here. He suffered. He has suffered. But not anymore. Secondly, you see that to which we were exposed. And again you see that he being innocent and yet condemned by a temporal judge might therefore thereby free us from the severe judgment of God to which we were. Faith has it. Exposed. We were, have been practically and experimentally. Thirdly, is there anything more in his being crucified than if he had died some other death? Yes, there is, for thereby I am assured. Assured, outside of myself. That he took on him the curse which lay upon me. No? Yes. For the death of the cross is accursed of God. Congregation, I will try to go the same road and like the Catechism, but I want to say that Christ suffered because of sin. He suffered because of sin. He suffered even by his people, his disciples. They made him suffering. Well, I'll come to it. For Jesus is his name. What's his work? To take away sin from his people. That's his work. That there would be a new world, a new heaven and a new earth without sin. Christ was the enemy of sin. Therefore he was made sin, that I might be righteousness in him. He didn't want his father to have a world with sin. He wanted to have a world for his father without sin. Glorious and free. United heaven and earth. Not need of the sun anymore to shine, but an everlasting sun of righteousness. No sea, a roaring sea anymore, but a sea without difficulties. A flat sea, a glorious sea. Congregation, we'll deal with it and go by these questions from that perspective, that he took away the sins of his people to be united in him with his Father by the application of the Holy Ghost. But let's first sing 18, 6 through 9. 18, 6 through 9. Arise, O Lord, lift up thy hand, O God, protect the poor and meek. Why should the proud thy justice doubt, and words of bold defiance speak? 6 through 9, 18. Thank you. What I want to point at this evening is that Christ suffered because of sin. The holy righteousness of Christ perceived what was sin. Sinners hardly perceive what's sin. They're like fishes in the water, drinking sin and living by sin. But Christ was righteous, so he suffered because of sin. Sin was his enemy, and his duty was, his gift, his calling was to take away the sins of his people. Listen, not to save his people. Yeah, that's the fruit of it. But to take away the sins of his people. That's different. And when your sins are taken away, saved, you're restored into communion with God. We have this time and age, people say, that's an extra work, sins forgiven. That's the fundamental work. If your sins are not forgiven, you're under the curse and death threat. And when you die, you're lost. I should say it better, you're lost already. And can be found by the Good Shepherd, taking your sins upon him, to taking them away. I believe, congregation, Christ, when he entered into this world, entered into hell. Entered into hell. He perceived, he knew what sin. Do you know what he says about mankind, about you and me? Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous spiritual adultery, serving the idols, and sinful generation. You know what he says about us, and he knew what he said. This adulterous and sinful generation, you, but above all me. It's hard to accept this, isn't it? Unless God convicts you of it. We see the man in the United States killing 54 people. They are always looking to a cause. Now, the cause is this: an adulterous and sinful generation. If God would let me loose, I don't know what happened to me. He protects. But there comes a time, says the Lord Jesus, at the end of the times, Satan will be unloosed for a little bit, and the world will be hell. It's already. It's growing. But how did he think about his disciples then? You know that they tried to get evil spirit out of that young man that was possessed, and they couldn't. Do you know what he says about his disciples? Even about his disciples. They were not holy men like people think. With many words, he did testify and exhort, saying, be saved of this untoward generation. They couldn't cast out the evil spirit, and the Lord Jesus said, O faithless and perverse generation. He said it of his disciples, you know. they are in themselves. They couldn't cast out an evil spirit. Faithless and perverse. Why I say this, congregation, because I hear today people so-called holy man. But I like Huntington, and Huntington said, I'm a saved sinner outside of myself. I'm a sinner, but outside of myself saved in Christ. That's grace. David had a cave, Adullam. Do you know who were there? People with guilt and shame. And the Lord Jesus was their shepherd. Alice, is he yours? John the Baptist said of the Pharisees, very religious, self-righteous people, they were the seed of the vipers. If you would see it today in this humanistic world where they think man is good, they would cast you in prison. But let's say it here from this pulpit worldwide. There is no expectation for any good out of man. All have trespassed and come short of the glory of God. Me, you. And therefore, Lord Jesus cried about sin. He couldn't stand sinning to his Father. Me and you, he couldn't. He was sent to take away sin, to apply righteousness, the righteousness of God, that in him we might be called righteous. He not only cried about sin and suffered because of it, he cried about death as the fruit of sin. The Lord Jesus 2 times cried at the grave of Lazarus, for he loved him and he wanted him to live. There is one who cried about death for sin's sake, because of sin is the fruit, death the fruit of sin. His last has come out. And when he left Jerusalem, he turned to the women that repented or cried about the death of Jesus. Do you know what he said? Oh, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. There are days coming when I'm not speaking about the sufferings of the Jews after the resurrection of Christ, but they suffered. Christ doesn't ask us to weep, but he wept because of sin, grieved to death his soul. He took upon him what I can't take upon myself. He hated sin. To save God's people from sin. See, some people, and I know, and I shouldn't be too offensive, and I don't want to. People today say the forgiveness of sin is the end, and not everyone experiences it. If you don't experience it, I know your end state. Hell. Anger. Wrath of God. But Christ suffered. And I've said this evening, because of sin, because of the sins of his people, he had to suffer. He suffered. All the time he lived on earth, persecuted, reproached, slandered, make him a devil. The religious people did it. Made him a devil. He throws the devils out by the devil, they said of him. And he kept his mouth to be made sin, that I might be his righteousness. As a lamb slaughtered. Do you know what he says? How long will I suffer you? Oh! Generations of vipers, but I'm here to save my people from sin. Would you go to hell? People say to me, yeah, he went to hell, but he went to hell, says the Bible, in this earth. He was in hell. He knew what's in you and in me. And it's sometimes hell or not. May I ask you a question? No, I shouldn't. Have you ever cursed? People say to me, I'm not cursing. I said, you're a liar. Peter did it. Even after that, he confessed his true faith in Christ. He cursed himself. I don't know him. Never known him. Do you know what you do? And by nature who you are? But congregation and the wondrous work of God. He who was righteous, hating sin, was made sin. Counted to be my sin. To be cursed for a curser. To be a thief for a thief. Blasphemer. To be cursed in the cross. Oh, precious Lord Jesus. Oh, precious Lord Jesus. Oh, precious Lord Jesus, to become what thou art not, that I might also be what I am not, righteous in thee. My tongue is too short and my mouth too small to speak about the beauty of Jesus. And then they say you shouldn't preach too much about Jesus. That's too liberal. Liar, it's way more liberal to speak about a law that fits to enumerate human decisive and ruinous nation. He suffered. And the whole content of the scriptures is compromised in one word. That's a sacrifice. Abel sacrificed a bloody sacrifice and was clothed with the skin of that bloody sacrifice. And he got to know that he was righteous in the Lamb. God testified it to him. He said, Abel, you're cursed, but not anymore. I will take your curse upon me and bless you in me. God learned Adam and Eve to sacrifice. God sacrificed the first sacrifice. Adam and Eve didn't. People always say Adam and Eve sacrificed. No, God sacrificed. And he clothed Adam and Eve with a bloody skin of the lamb. A white bloody skin with his righteousness. Christ says, let me die lamb, Lord, to take away the sins of my people, to cover them with my righteousness. We call it substitution. But later on, they trusted in the animal sacrifices. But the Lord says, don't rend your clothes. This outward religion. But rend your hearts, pierced by sin against God. And that's always happening, eh? Luther says, sometimes it's for a generation and the cloud is passing to other areas. It might be, congregation, a little cloud here, but it might pass by again. When Luther died, he said, it's over. Probably it wasn't. And it wasn't. But that's how he perceived it. By such a lot of enmity and hatred against Christ. Sufferings of the world for Christ's sake. Secondly, so substitution, that's the sacrifice. He was made sin. Counted to be sin. Listen, he was not a sinner. No one could condemn him. He said, show me my sins. And they couldn't. But he was counted to be sin. When he came in Gethsemane, for me it's always such a wonder. He says, bind me, but let my people go. They can't pay. I'll pay for them. Let my people go. That's what the Lord said to Pharaoh. Let my people go to serve me. Let my people go, devil, to serve me. And that's what you say. And the whole salvation matter is substitution. What substitution? He took my place, my sins. My condemnation, my curse, and I got his place. Do you know what Luther says? I'm going through Luther again. Luther says, do you know what faith is? Changing spots. He took my place, and I got his place. He took my hell, and he gave me his heaven. He took my sins. Do you know what Luther even said about sins? He robbed my sins from me. Sometimes you say, I want to confess your sins. No, some sin you're hiding because you love them and don't want to confess them. Hypocrite. Hypocrite. We are hypocritical. If you really would confess your sin, you would hate it. And depart from it. That's the fruit of true convictions. By grace only in faith. That's the fruit of faith, congregation. Substitution with body. He sustained in body and soul, especially at the end of his life, but all the way, the wrath of God against sin. He sustained it. I couldn't sustain the wrath of God, but he was God, amen. He sustained it. He could carry it and carry it away. God, amen. I can't. It would crush me to death. But he sustained it. One moment he says, why hast thou forsaken me? God didn't forsake him. His divine nature couldn't forsake his human nature. And his human nature was made one in his divine nature. One person, two natures. But he felt for a moment forsaken, although he wasn't forsaken. Because we have forsaken God. The whole Bible speaks about one thing. I remember when I was in South Africa and I had with theologians of the Dutch Reformed Church there, a discussion about biblical theology. They said there's only one biblical theology and one line in the scripture that's the sacrifice. First in paradise, Adam and Eve clothed with bloody skins. The chitunah. And they were also priest clothes. The chitunah. And that are the white clothes of which the Bible speaks in Revelations, to 444, clothed with white clothes, made white by the blood of Christ. The whole Bible speaks about one thing, that substitution. But if he is my substitute, listen, we dealt with it in catechism class, you remember? I said, if you have a substitute, what do you need to do then? You remember? And you said even to me, nothing, right? That's faith. And everything you do, you denounce the perfect sacrifice of Jesus. Stop it. Stop it! I can't, Pastor. No, I know. You're an enemy of all grace by nature. But God will stop your mouth by convicting grace, that every mouth might be stopped and the whole world be condemned. Might be condemned. Is your mouth ever stopped? That by his passion, the only propitiation sacrifice, they have sacrifice. Do he need to be sacrificed? He is sacrificed. It's a finished work, and he is sacrificed, harpax, once for all. Once for all. Now if it's once for all, what does that mean for the forgiveness of sins? That he, with one sacrifice, made perfect those who go by him to God. Listen, the Dort's canons are clear. If God forgives your sins, he forgives them of the past, of the present, and of the future. Once for all. But do you know what we always make of it? Step-by-step conversions. Daily conversions. I don't believe a syllable of it. Although, there are daily exercises of faith. But if God forgives your sins, by one sacrifice, he forgives. Therefore, he doesn't see any sin in Jacob, nor any trespass in Israel. He doesn't see them anymore. He laid them upon the Lamb, his only Lamb, to pay the penalty for all his people. Let's sing 152, 1 and 2. 152, 1 and 2. What time I'm afraid. I put my trust in thee. In God I rest and praise his word, so rich and free. Naya, 1, 2, and 3. Great 1, 2, and 3. In this altar, I was for a moment attacked. What now then? Well, in God I put my trust. I neither doubt nor fear. But listen to order. If you really trust, is there fear? Faith is not only knowledge, it's trust. I know God's people have feared and are fearing sometimes. The 256 times the Bible says, fear ye not, so they fear. But if faith is an exercise, fear is gone. Love is taken hold of you. So look to the order. Faith in exercise, no fear. The moment. But when you start again, look into yourself and conditions to be fulfilled. Christ said, go ahead. And fear enters again. Darkness in your soul. In perfect love, says the Bible, is no fear. You can only know faith, hope, and love as gifts of God. But congregation, when we speak about the sufferings of Christ, we speak about the merits. Today, people have sometimes enough to know the merits of Christ. But the forgiveness of sins, 12 articles, in the which heading? And the adding of the Son? Under the heading of the Holy Ghost, I believe in the Holy Ghost, the forgiveness of sins. So the merits of Christ need to be applied to your soul in the way of repentance and faith. God works it by the preaching of the gospel, by His Holy Ghost. Luther says, fear is an alien work. It prepares for grace. Knowing that you have sinned against God, your mouth is closed, it prepares you. The end of the law is grace. That's the proper work of God, Christ. Wonderful, eh? He says the alien work is under the law, but the proper work of God is the gospel preached and applied to your soul. But anyways, we need the application. Now I go to the application a little bit. Have you died with Him? Have you suffered with Him? Let's start first. He suffers for, He died for, and He's raised for. He died for our sins and raised for our justification, says Paul. But if it's applied to suffer with Him, die with Him, and are raised with Him. That's how God works. It's not only for, but like the mother at the cross, die with Him at the cross. That's application. Now what's the first application? Well, the Catechism says, why did He suffer? And the Pontius Pilate, that He, being innocent and yet condemned by a temporal judge, might thereby free us from the severe judgment of God, taught to listen, to which we were exposed. God brings His people in the courtroom. And if you have never been in the courtroom, you don't know what's the forgiveness of sins. To which we were exposed. No, Pastor. You're way too heavy, man. But God brings His people in the courtroom of Jesus. Why do you say in the courtroom of Jesus? That's God's courtroom. Have you ever been brought in the courtroom? Has God showed all your sins, paradise and sins, shortcomings, word, deed, and desires? There came a moment in my life that God showed me all my sins, my hidden sins, before the face of God. And I had to accept. Am I right to condemn you? Yes, Lord, you're right. But do you know the wonder? In that courtroom, the Lord Jesus stood between me and my judge. He said, Father, He can't pay, let me pay. Thou can be satisfied with His payment. A brother can give the ransom for another brother. It's too short in eternity. You know what happened in the courtroom? of the Lord, he stood between me and my judge. And he said, let my people go. I'll pay. I am the substitute. May I ask you, has it ever happened to you? Have you been in that courtroom to which we were exposed? Exposed, I have to say. What I want to say is this. I have to say it. Paul speaks about knowing the terror of God. He has been there. Knowing therefore the terror of God, we persuade man that everyone may receive the things done in his body. But listen good, listen good, listen good before you make an answer. That he may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or evil. Listen, what says it here? Good and evil? No, good or evil. Do you understand what I'm saying? We are evil and he is good. And you count for your own righteousness, that's only evil. But in him, I have fulfilled the law and done what I never could do. As if I had never sinned or done any evil, that's the good put on my account. May I say this? Probably you don't like it. Doesn't matter for me. My times are almost over. But it's good or evil. You're good in Christ or evil outside of it. I've felt some inexperience that the law tapped on my shoulder and he said, well, good and faithful servant. No, Pastor, he did. Yeah, he did. For the law has no objections against the righteousness of Christ. Not at all. Come in, you good and faithful servant. Pastor, I'm a rotten sinner. No, in him, you're all good. No, Pastor. Yeah. And he is all bad because of you. But he took it away and put it on the cross, took away the handwriting that was against you, that you might receive the blessings of Abraham. Oh, ye evil one. Rest in me. Have you been in the courtroom? I never wanted to be there. He brought me there. But I couldn't escape. He arrested me and brought me there. Today they say you don't need it. That's a lie. To whom I was exposed. Secondly, have you ever read the Bible? That every page was cursing you? Have you ever read it? Every page cursing you? I read the Bible and do you know what I did? Didn't dare to read it anymore. Every page was cursing me. That's how God works. You know what the Bible says about a curse? He said, O congregation, about a curse. Cursed is everyone that not continueth in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. We didn't continue in paradise and we don't continue even after grace to do what the Bible says we should do perfectly. If I'm not preaching law, perfectly requiring righteousness. We always lower the requirements. We say, I'm not so bad a sinner. I could be better, but no, you're not. If you don't continue in all the book is written about you, you're cursed! Child of the wrath of God, says the form of child baptism. Broken the law. Broken the covenant of grace. We did it. Now I ask you, have you ever felt the curse of God in your soul? That you didn't know where to hide yourself? Cursed I am, cursed. In congregation, then the Bible clearly says, yes, there is for thereby I am assured that he took upon him the curse which lay upon me. And in the twinkling of an eye, you're blessed in Christ Jesus. The curse is taken away from you. And the love and peace of God is put forth by the Holy Ghost, resting on the sacrifice of Jesus. You know how he was cursed at the cross. Everyone that hangeth on the tree is cursed. He opened his arms. And out of his sight came water and blood. Water as the sign of the forgiveness of sin, and water as the sign of the Holy Ghost, and blood of the sign of the forgiveness of sin. He indwells his people with his spirit of love. He loves what's not lovable. You know, I can't imagine what God did. I can't. I'm a fool. How can I imagine it? I'm standing afar off. It's a secret. It happens there. It happens there. It comes there. You don't know. You never knew. You couldn't expect it even. But the last thing Christ did, Dominic van der Poel said, the blood of Christ and the spirit of Christ poured out his love in your heart. He said, but the last thing Christ did is he prepared tomb for me. In the garden of Joseph of Arimathea, a new grave. He sanctified the grave for me. For although I'm in Christ a new creature, I'm a sinner to the core of my old nature. But as he had worn the image of the earthly, that's the first Adam, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. We once will bear the image of Jesus. Here by faith, later on, we'll see him like he is. This corruptible must put on incorruption. This corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality So when this corruptible shall put on the incorruptible, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, as it is written, death is swallowed up to victory. The grave of Jesus is the last path of sanctification. It delivers me from my body of sin. And I'll see him like he is. Your husband is delivered from himself and waits for the day of the resurrection. For flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. We need a spiritual body, a body ruled by the Holy Ghost. See, I sometimes hear, oh Lord, oh Pastor, happy that I can live some further. Oh yeah. I hardly hear some people saying, I hope that I don't need to live much longer in sin. Hardly hear it. But Paul says, to be with Jesus is far the best. But to stay here, it's good for your sake. To be with the Lord Jesus, John, is far the best. You know it. But you have to stay here a bit for your family, for the cause of the gospel. And one thing I want, says Paul, please God, that's my desire. Dying or living, suffering or being in victory, being a sinner covered by Jesus, being a sinner, a severe rotten sinner, and it doesn't come better, but covered by my precious Lord Jesus, in whom I trust, with a given trust, attacked many a time. But the cemetery, there is one grave. It's a new grave, where all things are becoming new. All two kinds of graves on the cemetery here in Springfield. I know there are children of God buried, and they will be raised in glory. What a day will it be? Thank God for Jesus Christ. He is delivering me from the body of sin. I remember that old man, and he had not such a nice character, was a child of God. Not such a nice character. A rotten character. But when I stood with the family around the graveyard, or the grave, I said, dear friends, dear children, throw all the rotten stuff for your father. We'll bury it. We'll bury it. It will be buried. Buried with him. Buried upon him. Being raised with him through death to life. And he will make a new world without sin. When heaven and earth, oh dear son, will be joined together and never be separated anymore. Never be separated anymore. To him might be the grace and praises from now to eternity. Amen. O Lord, thou hast come to die, to be buried, that we might be buried in thee, raised with thee, buried because of our sins and raised because of thy righteousness, in which thy people have a consolation. Be with us this night when we leave. Some people are leaving again for the Netherlands, and bless John and his family when he leaves. Make him a witness of the day, please. Open his mouth. He is a rotten sinner, but cover him. But then it might happen to us too here, in this vast country. Shine upon us, please, once more. Forgive us our sins in preaching and hearing, our enmity against the cross, that our mouth might be shut into condemnation. And thou art opening thy mouth then and say, O my people, I found a ransom for you. Have mercy upon us. We ask it in thy name, O Lord. Amen. We'll end our prayer, service with singing 415. The stanza 9 and 10. Oh, consider my affliction. All my travail, Lord, behold. Grant me full and free remission of my trespasses untold. Keep my soul, O gracious Savior. Come, I pray, deliver me. And what's following? 9 and 10, 415. that you may go home in peace, receiving the blessings of the living God, the love of God the Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion with the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.